funny concept to me to get a haircut before a podcast. It's like putting makeup on before a radio show.
You gotta look good no matter what you're doing, whether it's, you know.
Fair enough.
It gives me confidence in my absolutely terrible picks. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your host, Andrew Rayer, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. It is a Thursday afternoon. I apologize for it being so late in the week. It was unavoidable schedule-wise on my end. I will apologize. But I will. With me, as always, is Andrew Laird, who's always available. How are you?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, you're the more reliable source than myself, especially if you're looking for advice.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm hit and miss not only with my picks, but with the schedule this week. But before we go forward to game week 35, let's take a look back a little bit at 34, because there were a couple of big storylines that that might shape the rest of the season here. And we'll get to the first one, Chelsea, boring Chelsea, the 0-0 against Arsenal, and then the 3-1 victory against Leicester. With them, you know, being within real touching distance now of the title. Going forward, and this and apply this to any team that really doesn't have much to play for once they accomplish their goal. What do you, I mean, is there a strategy you can take in terms of, you know, lesser known players or younger players? Do you feel that this is the time of the year where you'll start to see more interesting roster choices?
I don't think they'll necessarily be starting choices. Like, I think we'll see a lot of youngsters on the bench. I would love to see Chelsea bring some of these guys up, like Solanke and
Abraham. Brown.
Yeah, they've got a lot of nice pieces, and you would think that they would be able to close out the title at home against Crystal, frankly, against anybody. You know, with 3 points to win and that match at home, I would take Chelsea against anybody right now. I don't care.
They could lose and still win the title.
That's true as well. Although I think, does that rely on Arsenal losing at Hull?
Correct.
Yeah, so, and that game is actually after Chelsea, so.
It's on Monday.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I'm going to take that. And so we were actually discussing about 3 minutes ago about Chelsea in terms of what happens if they do clinch, in terms of Diego Costa, and frankly, Fabregas looks gassed, so he might as well, you know, take a seat.
And I thought you were going to say he looks Fabregas.
Oh, he looks Fabregas. Yeah, sorry, my mind doesn't think like yours in that respect. Well, but
color me Fabregasted.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what they do, but I fully expect Chelsea to win and clinch the title so that they can get their accolades at Anfield the following week. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure that there's any other club that really needs to lay off. So I'm not sure that we'll see a lot of rotation just in terms of actual fantasy relevant players.
Yeah, well, one correction: it would be at home against Liverpool. They have two straight home games.
Oh, did they? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes,
I thought it was at Anfield.
Because they just did two straight away games this past week. Anyway, but basically with Chelsea, and speaking of that storyline, by the way, if Chelsea have to do the honor, if Chelsea gets to do the honor guard week 36. In game week 36, that would mean Steven Gerrard is in his final season in the Premier League, having never won the Premier League, is in the honor guard to celebrate the champions that are not him. Mm-hmm. Just the ultimate kick in the pants before going to Los Angeles.
I suppose.
All right, so let's go on to game week 35. We have an interesting slate of games here. The full time gamut, so we have a very early game on Saturday, 7:45 in the morning Eastern time. So make sure if your daily format accounts for this game, I think there are a lot of options here. It is Leicester City at home against Newcastle. We were just talking about this recently. You disagree. You don't think that there's a ton of options here.
Well, I said that right away. We're getting ready for our daily dose, and you said, "Oh, what's that early game?" And I said, "I don't think there aren't that many options. It's Leicester versus Newcastle." And as soon as that came out of my mouth, I knew that you were going to call me out on it, and I basically called myself out on it. How I immediately said Jamie Vardy, and then you added, you know, excellent options like Albrighton and Schmeichel, certainly playing, you know, against a Newcastle side that people love the term toothless, so we can use it here, but. any of the defensive options. Jeffrey Schlup, too, might be an option if he comes back from his injury. So it's weird to consider Leicester with so many options, but it helps when they're playing as they are and Newcastle are coming in to, you know, King Power Stadium.
Yeah, and for Newcastle, I mean, defensively, they looked a little better, not much, but Fabrizio Colaccini returns.
Yep.
And Cisse, Papi Cisse doesn't return until
May 9th, 37.
Yeah, long time from now.
Yeah, it was a long suspension.
Yeah, so
United got it. Well, Johnny Evans got the same suspension, basically. He got one game less, but I think they had the FA Cup match against Arsenal was in there, so he got basically five Premier League matches, whereas Cisse got seven, if I'm counting correctly. So, you know.
Yes, Newcastle. Long ban. Yeah. Well, Newcastle, if they can get some continued collaboration between Cabella and Iosi Perez, and Revelier looked pretty, for the first time this season, looked good last week.
Yeah, only took him 35 weeks.
Yeah.
34, I guess.
Some people take longer to adjust than others, I guess. But, I mean, for Leicester, for me, the only position I would avoid would be the defense. I mean, Wes Morgan, if Schlupp is not in, would be the guy I would go with. But by no means is that a confident pick. I mean, I if Jeffrey Schlupp is playing, it means he's probably playing forward as a winger. And that would be the reason why I would play him only, because he's not playing defense, but he'll get defense points.
Yeah, Robert Huth got hurt on Wednesday. So he's out. He's not a great fantasy contributor, but he's a pretty important piece for them.
Yeah. He was a favorite of mine when he was at Stoke with him and Shawcross.
Yeah, so he's out most likely. And I think Konchesky's actually been playing a little further up, so he's an interesting option. But under what circumstance would you play any of the Newcastle guys, meaning Perez or Cabella? What matchup would you do it?
The end of the world.
If they were like home against Sunderland, would you consider? Or even at that point, you just look elsewhere.
I think I would rather play in that situation Patrick Van Aanholt and Kostel Pantelimon.
Fair enough.
So fair enough. I think there would be more value in that direction than in the Newcastle. I mean, until Cisse comes back, there hasn't been a consistent offensive threat. We've referenced this all the time. They've had flavors of the month.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Gabby Obertown. We talked about Iosi Perez. We talked about
Johan Gufron.
I mean, it's just there's been no consistency about their forward play, about their midfield play, except for Daryl Yanmon at defense. I mean, there really hasn't been much in terms of consistency. And you have to think that comes from the manager position, because they really haven't been on stable ground all year with that.
Yeah, the only guy I would add in is Jack Colback, who has a goal and assist in his last two. But
consistency.
He would literally have to be $1 on any of the daily sites for me to consider him.
Yeah, they'd have to be at the minimum.
Yeah.
And even then, you're throwing a dart, especially if you're using Colback as a midfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, those are valuable points at midfield that you will not be getting, most likely.
Yep.
All right. But on the Leicester side, I actually like I like all the options. Yeah. If Riyad Mahrez starts, it'd be another guy I'd like to think that I'd be comfortable with. But I'd need to see the team sheet first. I'm not confident he's going to be starting.
Yeah. Albrighton's really been starting
ahead of him.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah. So Albrighton, to be honest, that was kind of a lucky goal.
Yeah.
Against Chelsea, because Azpilicueta did slip.
Yep.
But he was there. You can't discount the fact that he was there.
Yep. And he finished it.
And he did, unlike Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll move on to Sunderland, who are at home against Southampton. Both teams are kind of struggling, to be honest. Not surprising from Sunderland, but definitely surprising from Southampton. But we talked about last week if Connor Wickham is the saving grace of Sunderland. Do you think he gets another goal?
No. I'm perfectly content playing defensive options for Southampton. They're going to look a little different, though, because Morgan Schneiderlin was ruled out for the season with a knee injury, and Tadic is out this week because of a groin, although he hasn't really been starting. So we'll actually see a little bit.
Elia will probably get a run.
Well, it'll be Elia, or Stephen Davis has been getting some starts. James Ward-Prowse. Yeah, so I think they have guys that they can fill in, but Victor Wanyama's back from his suspension, so he'll slot probably right into Schneiderlin's spot. But
yeah, both of those guys may be gone next year from Southampton. There's pretty strong rumors for Schneiderlin going to Tottenham, and then Wanyama's been on Arsenal's radar for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, Schneiderlin was on Arsenal. It was linked with Arsenal. I think we had discussed that I wonder if they kind of subconsciously realize that they're both essentially trying out for Arsenal.
But yeah.
I'm not sure Arsenal really, not that Arsenal doesn't need them, but I'm not sure Arsenal is going to overpay for either of those guys, given how well Francis Coquelin's been this year, just because...
Yeah, if they want to continue only using one holding midfielder, then I understand.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's what Wenger wants to do going forward. But enough about the future of Arsenal.
Sorry,
let's talk about the present of Southampton.
Yeah, I like everything on the Southampton side here, even though it's at Sunderland. I have no interest in Connor Wickham or Jermaine Defoe or Jack Rodwell or any of these guys that, you know, Southampton, you know, they've been struggling, although Graziano Pelle is starting to play a little better of late. So
what do you know? An inverse relationship. Pelle doing well, Southampton doing poorly.
Yeah, well.
Just when they don't need it.
Yeah, what's strange about it is that they're not really losing that much ground with Liverpool or Spurs for that, you know, basically five spot. Although we've talked about how 5, 6, and 7 are, or at least 5 and 6 are locked up for Europa, and 7 could be if Arsenal wins the FA Cup. But, you know, you would think that all three want to finish in 5th as opposed to 7th. So
you'd rather get that guaranteed spot.
Yeah. In a tournament nobody wants to play in.
It is a little bit of a poison chalice. But on the Southampton side, are you concerned at all with the lack of output from Bertrand and from Nathaniel Clyne recently?
A little bit, but I think, you know, the ability to play them this week with a clean sheet opportunity as well, I think, is more than enough to still warrant playing them.
Yeah, I just always get nervous whenever I try to play goaltenders or defenders on the road.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. I mean, in terms of DraftKings, you know, they give you points for crosses, and, you know, 2 games ago, or maybe I guess it's 3 now, that Klein had 8. You know, that they've got upside that not all kinds of defenders have after Kieran Trippier. I'm looking how Bertrand had 9 last week, so
yeah.
You know, they're still pretty active, and like I said, I like even the clean sheet opportunity here this week. Although I liked it last week with Sunderland at home, and they scored 1 second into the game. So,
I don't like that it's either one or the other.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, you know, 50-50 it. You know,
It sort of makes sense. You know, you don't really want both of them flying up the field at the same time.
I disagree.
Fair enough.
I think that's how you get width. And when teams are packing it in, you need the width.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll go on to Swansea at home against Stoke, two teams that probably couldn't care less about this game now. They just want to get on vacation. Swansea, I mean, Nelson Oliveira scored.
Yeah, and I think you and Chris both ranked him. I think I stayed away just because...
Because he's Nelson Oliveira.
Yeah,
he's not really
exactly.
I understand. I understand that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him in really... Too many.
I ranked him 13th, and Chris ranked, I want to say 10th.
Yeah,
yes, 10th.
What I gather from Stoke is that they really want to hit the 50-point mark. They're at 47 right now. Swansea's already at 50. And so I'm not sure what Swansea has to play for. You know, I feel like they keep having to make up goals because they've hit all of the ones that they've wanted to. You know, like they want to be in the top half of their 8th now. They want to be at 50 points. They got to 50. They're 7 points behind Southampton and 8 points behind Spurs and Liverpool, so they're not going to make that ground up to qualify for Europa.
Definitely not.
So I'm not sure what they're playing for. Stoke, you know, if you want to say they're going for that 50-point mark, you know, 50 points is not nothing in the Premier League. So, you know, that's
yeah,
nice.
But these teams are
so incredibly similar. Like Swansea has 14 wins and 12 losses. Stoke is 13-13. They've got the same goal differential. I mean, I'm not sure you can find two clubs that are more similar other than maybe Everton and West Ham, who are actually almost exactly the same now that I'm looking at it.
These games are, if you want to relate this to kind of American sports, these games are the victims of the way that the Premier League works. So if you are in the middle, kind of like, you know, with the NFL, if you just don't want to be 8-8, because it's hard to get out of 8-8. I feel like if you're a mid-table club, it's hard to get out of mid-table too.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's kind of why Everton was such a big deal last year, because I think they really are just a mid-table team. But did they finish 5th last year? Did they? They did, right, for that Europa spot?
Yes, because they got the Europa spot.
Right, so, like, that's a big deal. They're, you know, they've fallen back to 10th this year because that's, you know, that's
mid-table. And on that point, they've looked significantly better since being eliminated from Europa.
Yeah, yep, which I'm not sure how much – maybe it's because it's Europa and not the Champions League, but, like, I feel like there's this huge, you know, detriment to playing European football, but, you know, the top four are that's what they want, you know, and they play through it all year. But I guess the difference between playing Wednesday and Saturday is so much better than playing Thursday and Sunday. Like,
it's also you have to travel to farther away places that are not as nice, and you don't, you know, going to Romania is not the same as going to Paris.
Yeah, that's fair. So. Yeah.
Just to throw
no offense to our Romanian listeners here.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Ukraine. I heard that's a wonderful place to be this time of year. But I think that's part of the difference. These guys aren't used to traveling that far, to be honest. They're not used to the long plane trips. They're used to the 3-hour drives.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it takes to get anywhere in England without traffic.
Right.
But anyway, we've gone on way too much about this. We'll go on to West Ham against Burnley. Being where they blow bubbles in West Ham. And for this matchup, I mean, West Ham have been kind of packing it in. Burnley cannot score still. It's getting to be sad. Yeah, they are trying so hard, and they're going down fighting, but it doesn't look it.
Yeah, and you wonder, not that Danny Ings is it's not a transfer at all, but there was so much talk of him being such a great summer signing wherever he goes. Liverpool seemed like a done deal, and now anything having to do with him is so quiet because of how poorly they've played. You know, I don't think there's any chance they're staying up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one player who's been playing very well regardless, and that's Kieran Trippier.
Yes, but I'm not sure he's been very good at crossing the ball.
It's more than that. I mean, that's important. But he's also been very good at getting back, even when he's in an advanced position. His defense obviously could be improved because he's young. I mean, he's not John Terry. I'm not gonna say anything.
It seems
like that,
of a team of a position that can affect the team the least. Would you expect it to be the fullbacks? Like, he's not a huge central defender to help around the box. And
I think one of the key separators in games of, like, the elite teams is their ability to get wide. And so let's say Real Madrid with Marcelo, mm-hmm. or with Barcelona with, you know, Jordi Alba, or with Dani Alves when he was playing. Mm-hmm. When you look at Bayern Munich when Philipp Lahm was playing as the right back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the list goes on and on and on. When these teams get width, because they're used to playing teams that just want to keep them out.
Yeah.
And the way you beat that is to get wide and work from the wide, from the width in. And if you have those players out wide, then you're going to do great. I mean, Everton are experiencing it now. They're playing a lot better. Leighton Baines is getting much more involved.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. But at the same time, I'm just not sure how much impact he specifically is having on the game.
Well, I'm not trying to say that he's going to be like this blockbuster, you know, headline transfer likes of Luke Shaw, which was just
wow.
We've seen where that's gone.
Yikes!
But it's something to look at from Burnley, because the way he crosses, you just have to feel like if there are better players in the middle, I mean, he'd be having a very good year in assists. I mean. Better than
that. And yet we're talking about potential. His teammate is a potential starting striker for Liverpool.
I doubt it. I mean, Danny Ings is fine. He's a good. He's just another guy.
Yeah,
he's a good guy to have on the roster. No, I mean, if you remember last year, Ricky Lambert looked great.
Yeah,
and then he went to Liverpool and didn't do anything. So it's.
Do you think if Premier League managers get a phone call from anybody at Southampton, like, are you interested in? You should just hang up.
Well, I've compared them to the A's in the past.
But
they know something that other teams don't.
Right, and they get rid of these guys rather easily. Like, how many guys have left Southampton and have been significantly better? at least in the recent term?
I'm trying to think of it. Not many. I mean, some of them got injured, which is not fair to judge, like Callum Chambers, for example.
Or did they know that?
No.
He's an injury-prone player?
If you don't know a player is injury-prone, that's your fault.
Right. You but know, I'm saying, did Southampton know?
No, I doubt that. I doubt that. If you don't know a player consistently gets injured, first of all, if you hide that information, I'm not sure what the rules are there in England for that. But sure. If you're hiding injury information, that's one. Yeah. That's another. What do they call it? Another kettle of fish. But we can get more into that though as as the off season approaches. But back to the West Ham Burnley. On the West Ham side, is Enner Valencia still worth anything?
It's one of these matchups that you have to look at him because they're playing home against Burnley. But
and he's rumored to go to Chelsea, by the way.
Enner Valencia.
Yeah, Mourinho loves him.
Really? Huh. He'd be a very fine third striker for them.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be just another guy.
Yeah. But, I think there are only a few clubs, a few opponents that you would realistically consider Valencia starting, and this Burnley happens to be one of them.
Yeah. And on the West Ham side, I mean, this is kind of the battle of the young, promising, fullbacks, because Aaron Cresswell, who plays left back for West Ham, the other player that I tipped at the beginning of the season as a potential fantasy guy.
Yeah. Good call on both.
Yeah. I occasionally get a couple right. Now,
yeah, I think he's definitely a solid play, and you could even look on the other side for Carl Jenkinson because they both love to throw crosses in, and Jenkins is probably, cheaper in most formats.
Yeah. And, this game feels very low scoring, not only because Burnley are involved, but I don't think West Ham looked very good going forward either.
I agree.
Yes, they haven't looked great going forward since Andy Carroll's gone down.
Yeah.
And
losing Sacco also didn't, that obviously hurts them pretty well.
Yeah, but Sacco wasn't doing great when Carroll wasn't there, like the second time.
True. Yep.
So it's just...
Yeah, they have 2 goals in their last 4 games. Yeah. They came at Leicester and home against Stoke.
Yeah. All right. And let's go on to Liverpool at home against QPR. This is a game that's at least worth watching, unlike a couple others that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But QPR, they're definitely going down, at least offensively fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool have been... I mean, besides the game against Hull, which was just weird. Like, I was watching that game against Hull in the midweek. I didn't know what team I was watching. I mean, Liverpool just looked out of sorts.
Yep.
And I don't know if they resigned to their fate after the 0-0 with West Brom. I don't know if they're just kind of relenting or if it's just a short lull or, if they don't have any fighting spirit, I think QPR can really take it to them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I'm not sure there was any part of this season where we would have said you wouldn't play Charlie Austin at Liverpool, right? I mean,
well, yeah, last week I wouldn't have because I had ranked Mignolet very highly, but
you ranked him highly because he wasn't playing. I'm just saying, like, you would take your chances most times against a Liverpool defense with a top goal scorer in the league.
Yeah.
So
I guess I still don't consider Charlie Austin a top goal scorer in the league, even though he has a lot of goals.
Yeah, I mean, well, I meant it in terms of actual production.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Facts,
yes, not my opinion, I understand.
What is he, is he fourth, third?
I don't have it in front of me, but I do believe he's third.
He's fourth.
Okay.
Aguero, Kane, and Costa.
I thought he had tied Costa.
He's two back, 17. Next is Giroud and Sanchez at 14. But yeah, I like Charlie Austin this week because I don't like Liverpool's defense, despite Simon Mignolet being the greatest fantasy keeper in the history of fantasy Premier League or whatever it was you said.
He is the number one goaltender, and with a clean sheet last week plus a second game of points, which was not many, but I'm sure he maintained it. I don't think Steve Harper passed him with his performance.
No. Though you do not get the victory bonus from a scoreless draw on DraftKings or Draft Goal, I believe.
Yeah. But at least you get the clean sheet, though. I mean, yep. That's really what you're looking for. And Liverpool are looking better defensively, to be honest. I think that they're doing a good job. But if they've lost the energy now because realistically they're not going to get to fourth, this could be a trap. Especially because they might be looking ahead to the game against Chelsea.
Yeah. I'm not saying that QPR has this like great attack, but I think we may be overstating Liverpool's defense based on their recent run, because they're playing horrible opponents. I mean, they lost 2-1 to Man U, 4-1 to Arsenal, then they blanked Newcastle, then the 2-1 loss to Aston Villa in the FA Cup, and then the scoreless draw with West Brom and a 1-0 loss to Hull. I mean, Hull, West Brom, and Newcastle aren't exactly a stellar trio of attacking teams.
They're not the 1927 Yankees.
Right. Is it possible we're reading a little too much into this? Or we're not reading enough into it, excuse me?
Yeah, and it's not like QPR are world beaters either, but yep. Bobby Zamora, to me, is an interesting candidate too, if he starts, which he has been.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously need to talk about Matthew Phillips, because he's good. in crossing, you know, in leagues that give crossing like DraftKings, he has to be on a radar.
Yeah, and he's also just playing very well as a wide man.
Yep.
Again, when you get width, good things tend to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, because of where we are in the season, it's getting harder and harder to predict. Not that it's ever easy to anyway. That's why they play the games. But Liverpool QPR, to me, I really think that QPR has a chance to nick it at the end here.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you.
All right. So we'll move on to Aston Villa at home against Everton. I like both teams now. They're both playing very well. For Aston Villa being at home, I mean, Tim Sherwood has led them to safety, Premier League safety. So, you know, Prince William can relax a little. But
are we sure that's true?
I points wise, I know that they're still possible. But
do you know how much they're out of the drop zone?
I think it's by at least 2 or 3 points.
Two points, and Sunderland have a game in hand. It's against Arsenal, so maybe.
Yeah.
Although who knows?
I don't really count Sunderland's game in hand, to be honest. I'm not anticipating any points there.
That's fair. But they're only two out. I'm not sure that's great safety if they don't get any points this weekend.
I think it's a little deceiving.
Do you know who they play next week?
I'm not looking at it right now.
So,
but
they're remaining. So they play home against West Ham next week. Yeah, they have back-to-back matches. Everton and West Ham.
That doesn't sound too difficult.
I agree with you there. The following week is at Southampton.
So I don't think that's difficult either by this point.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to disagree with you.
I think you're playing against teams that aren't playing for much.
But you have to score, and I'm not sure at Southampton is a place they're going to get a ton of goals.
With Christian Benteke playing as well as he is?
Well, we'll see how well he is in 2 more weeks.
I mean, yeah.
But the best one is May 24th, the finale. They play home against Burnley. I mean, that'll be it, right?
I think Burnley will be out of it.
You think they'll be out by then? That's fair. That's fair. But I'm not saying Aston Villa's safe.
I think it's a four-horse race for relegation.
Okay.
I think it's Leicester, Sunderland, QPR, Burnley. And really, I think it's three. I think Burnley already gone.
Yeah.
Just goal differential too. They're not going to make up the ground they need to. They're going to need to win it on points, and they can't get 3 points when they need to. Because they can't score goals.
Yeah. Leicester have a 4-goal lead in goal differential over Aston Villa.
Yes. But
and QPR has 1-goal lead.
I also think Aston Villa have a level to reach playing wise that the others don't. Regardless, I understand your facts are getting in the way of my opinion, but I'm not changing my opinion. I really do feel like Aston Villa are safe.
Yeah. Okay.
But as controversial as that may sound, I really do believe it. And if they go, if Aston Villa go down, that would be the best team ever to get relegated.
I agree with you.
I mean, because you're looking at £50 million of transfers at least if they go down.
You think it's that much?
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of players leaving.
Yeah, but how many are really growing? After Benteke, how many are really getting that much money?
Carlos Sanchez got double digits, just to name one. Scott Sinclair is probably going to – oh,
he's gone. Scott Sinclair's, yeah, he's not theirs.
Yeah, he's I think Brad Guzan would leave.
Mm-hmm. Agbon Lahore.
Agbon Lahore would leave.
I'm just not sure you're getting that much money for those guys.
Grealish would get a decent amount of money if he wanted to leave because he's young.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 was too high. Maybe 40, 35, 40, because you're going to get 20, 25 at least out of Benteke.
Yeah.
So it's just
– shouldn't that be who Chelsea goes after?
I don't know.
Or is it that you don't really want to bring him in to play behind Costa?
Yeah.
That's the
point. Yeah. It's – anyway, we have plenty of time for all
– Sorry. Yep.
I don't want to derail the conversation more than we already have.
So yeah, speaking of that, I love Benteke this week home against Everton. I'm still not sold on Everton, particularly on the road.
So if Aston Villa get 3 points, would you feel safe then?
Yes.
So at least they're close to you. All right. So Everton side, Leighton Baines is back to being Leighton Baines.
Yeah, he's the highest priced defender now. He passed Trippier on DraftKings.
Yep. Maybe he'll take a penalty one of these days.
Unbelievable.
He'll reach his full value as the captain. But Romelu Lukaku, which Belgian do you feel more comfortable with?
Benteke.
And I'll throw another Belgian in for you, Kevin Morales.
No, I'm not even sure he plays.
He did score last week.
Yeah, he did, off the bench.
Yes.
I'm still not sure that's going to get him in.
Yeah, I think, because Aaron Lennon's playing well, and so is Ross Barkley.
Yep. Barkley clearly
I think he can get in front of Leon Osman, but I just don't think personally that.
I'm not sure about that either.
That's a low-down dirty shame, because he's significantly better. But anyway, we'll go on here to Manchester United at home against West Brom. Tony Pulis, of course, just keeps on making us look foolish. Blanks Liverpool last week. Can he pull the double here against the impressive opponents in blank United?
It's going to be a weird United team. Rooney's out with his ankle injury. And so...
Is Carrick still out? Is the key?
I believe he is.
Yeah, if Carrick... Question. So I'll take it. I mean... Carrick
is a maybe, I think, so I'm not going to say he's out.
Carrick has been the linchpin for me.
Absolutely.
They've looked great when he's playing, and they haven't looked close to good with him not playing.
Totally agree.
At the beginning of the year, everyone thought it was because Daley Blind was injured. I think history has showed us that that's not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Carrick not being featured, first of all, for England has been a crime over the past few years. But now for United, it's just been... It showed how good he is.
Yeah, he
don't really know what you have until it's gone.
Totally agree, and he's an excellent play on Draft Goal. The way their scoring system works, it's huge for defensive midfielders like him. Matic, I think, is the third highest scoring player in Draft Goal, and it just plays right into Carrick's game. So if he plays,
because if there's anything that everyone loves to root for, it's midfield interceptions.
Yeah, it's recovered balls and interceptions.
Yes. All right.
I completely agree with you. And if he comes back, they're a totally different team. But I wonder what we'll see here, because Van Persie's now played for the under 21s twice, and
well, he's composite wise among us three, we ranked him fourth overall.
Yeah, you and Chris had him at four. I had him at five. Composite got him to four, and so we like him if he starts. And
I threw Falcao on there. I threw them both on there.
Yeah.
So I put Falcao at 15.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced they don't go both of them up front.
I was thinking about that as well. The only hesitation I have is neither of them are really great at passing to similar players, if that makes sense. Like I think each one works well with Rooney, but I'm not sure those two together make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I
should have ranked James Wilson. I knew it.
Well, I don't think Wilson will get the start.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think they'll play one of him. But I wonder if it's time for Di Maria to get back in.
That would be, I mean, Di Maria behind them too.
Right. Well,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's where he should be. I'm not sure that's even what will happen because Van Hall was playing Di Maria so far up that I wonder if he'll go with Van Persie and Di Maria.
It's too much left-footedness.
And then to add to your left-footedness, Mata behind them, yeah.
And Daley Blind behind him.
Right, right.
Just way too much left-footedness. A good right-handed pitcher gets them all. A good left-handed pitcher gets them all out.
Yeah, I think the I think if Van Persie starts, well, obviously if Van Persie starts and Di Maria starts, I think it's Fellaini who goes back to the bench.
That's
because I don't think
it's a shame.
Yeah, I don't think Mata
He's only played so well that the champions elect decided to play man-to-man defense against him to shut him down.
Yeah,
he's only been that good.
Well, he's been a little quiet since, you know.
Yeah, because people kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, West Brom side. I mean,
no,
there's nothing.
No, I'm not going to say no. Nobody's going to be surprised if Berrigan scores. To
stake your reputation on.
Right.
If you want to throw a dart, you know, if Boaz Myhill is cheap enough, sure, why not?
Oh, I wouldn't go defensively, actually. I was thinking more in the Berahino realm. Chris Brunt, actually, has been starting at right back, left back. I don't know which side he plays on.
Pass.
But he's been starting there. Well, he's been throwing in a ton of crosses recently.
Yeah, he takes corners.
Yeah, and so he's trying to see here.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Craig Gardner will score from 40 yards away.
Well, yeah. Actually, now that I'm looking, Brunt has only had two crosses in the last two games, so egg on my face.
Well, I think it's mostly corners that you're thinking of.
Could be. But yeah, I mean, Manchester United's defense has never been that impressive to me.
Yeah.
Especially if Carrick sits, because he's kind of...
Yeah, this Saturday slate is underwhelming from an excitement point of view. There's not a lot of games to get excited about.
Yep.
But I think when you move on to Sunday, there's more to get excited about because Chelsea are at home against Crystal Palace. This matchup in itself is not that important. It's a London derby, kind of. But it's really, you know, the storyline here is Chelsea can win the title.
Yep, they're going to
pile on the defense.
From what we've gathered, it sounds like Costa's going to sit out again, which is such a bummer since we ranked him so highly this week with the expectation he would return. But... yeah, well, you know, as we said before the pod, there's no...
Mourinho said he wouldn't risk his fitness. Right, when's he ever going to risk his fitness?
But yeah, exactly. So
he didn't really reveal anything.
Yeah, well, we know that...
typical Mourinho.
We know that Remy's not going to start. We're taping this on a Thursday. Mourinho usually does his press conferences Friday mornings on the east coast of the United States. So we'll know tomorrow, at least we'll get a picture of whether Costa plays, because he's usually, strangely enough, he's usually... pretty open about whether guys will or will not play, but at least in his Friday conferences. So if maybe it's Drogba again.
He scored.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because did he start Wednesday or no?
Yes.
Oh, he did start Wednesday. Yeah, so he scored Wednesday in his start. He didn't start on Sunday when Oscar almost died playing in that role. So
do you want to get into the head injury protocol, or do you want to save that for another show?
I'll simply say that did we talk about it last week or was it the week before?
One of them, yeah.
That, you made a point that I tend to agree on the side of Taylor Twellman that they just...
completely ignored.
Yeah. And the Oscar one was scary. I mean, he was literally like trembling on the field and was obviously unconscious and he kept playing and they removed him at halftime and I feel like it was kind of announced like, okay, they're doing their job because they removed him at halftime. It's like, yeah, but he played like another 10 minutes before, or maybe it was even more than that because I think it happened in like the 15th minute, but that was downright dangerous. He was on the bench for Wednesday's match. He didn't play. So, you know, who knows what we have with that, but.
And I mean, there's been discussion like what should they do? And I mean, the rule, I mean, everyone keeps saying, hey, they should just add a four sub. No, people are going to abuse that.
Yeah.
Especially if you just do it for injury, because everyone feigns injuries anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Exactly. I think you need to just put a disclaimer on it. If you use the fourth sub, one of your four subs, like one of the players that came out, has to miss the next game. So make it a true injury situation, you know? Mm-hmm. So for example, in Chelsea's case, you know, they would have just said, Oscar's going to miss the next game.
Yeah. I think the benefit in the idea there is that you knew that they had a game 3 days later, whereas not that you can, you know, recover from a serious concussion in 6 days, which is what they, you know, 6 or 7 days, what they usually have in between games. But that's an interesting idea. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just something that I thought of at the top of my head. We can discuss that again as the season is winding down. We'll start talking about more extraneous topics because, to be honest, some of the teams are really, you know, you've noticed it in some of their play already that it's not the same. It's not as intense.
Yeah. Speaking of Crystal Palace in that regard. Oh, my goodness. Terrible.
I feel like a jilted lover here.
Like because Hall did it too earlier, and now that.
Yeah, it's a repeat of Hall. Like yeah. I opened my heart again to a team that wasn't Chelsea, and they just crapped on it.
Yeah. Yeah,
now their running is terrible.
Yeah, I've long been ignoring players playing at Stamford Bridge this season. Yep. You know, some of it has been to my detriment, but I'll happily take Chelsea at home against every opponent I've said this season. And so we get to Crystal Palace, who we've loved recently, and there's not a single guy on this roster I'll touch. Not one.
I have a funny feeling I will not be using a Crystal Palace player for the rest of the season. Their run-in is at Chelsea, home to Manchester United, at Liverpool, and then home to Swansea, maybe in the last week of the season. But, yeah.
But even then, you're probably not. In fact, that last week will be fun because I wonder if we'll go heavy on Leicester and Burnley and Aston Villa because they'll just be going balls out.
Huh. Pun certainly intended. We will move on here because, other than Chelsea winning the title, yes, you start all your Chelsea options if you have them. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. So, I guess we should note that I think Courtois will probably be back after sitting with a little hip soreness. He was available off the bench for Wednesday, but it's probably just to make sure that Peter Cech was still alive.
Yep, sure. And he was, and he actually played pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
He'll look great in an Arsenal kit next year, right?
We'll see.
All right. But the key matchup of the weekend, if you're thinking of the biggest and brightest teams, would be Tottenham at home against Manchester City. But some of the luster's been taken out of this one for me. Tottenham, I think they're kind of just seeing their way through the rest of the season. They're kind of on autopilot to me. I think Pochettino wants to see what he has for next year. Manchester City just want to make sure they finish second.
Yeah, I think Man City certainly have something to play for, and Aguero has just been awesome recently, so I would have no problem playing him. In fact,
I don't think there's an option here that you would I think you're starting all of your options on both of these teams that are not out of the ordinary.
Totally agree.
With Danny Rose's injury, that throws a wrench into it.
I think he's going to be back, though.
Yeah, but so. How confident are you there?
That he plays?
That he plays effectively and he's worth starting.
Well, you're certainly not taking him for his clean sheet potential. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, you have to play.
Yeah, and you're not realistically starting Joe Hart
you're going Chelsea on Sunday for defensive options.
Yeah, but I guess there's one caveat I would throw into it, and that's Alexander Kolarov.
Yep, I like that. The guy's awesome. And he's now, he takes the free kicks from, usually.
Pretty well, too, I've heard.
Yeah, very well. So, yeah, that's a good call on Kolarov, but what's funny is I'm almost more confident playing the Man City attackers at White Hart Lane than I am at the Etihad.
Yeah, they've been pretty bad.
Yaya Toure's out. That's the only thing you have to worry about. So yeah. I wonder if you could get like a surprise start from Frank Lampard. New York City FC's Frank Lampard.
Blah. I'll believe it when I see it. All right, we'll go on to the last game of the weekend. It's Monday, May 4th. It will be Hull City at home against your Arsenal. How disappointed were you in Arsenal's performance against Chelsea last week? And that doesn't translate over.
There was no thought in my mind that they were going to score multiple goals against Chelsea. And I kind of expected Chelsea to win 1-0. I didn't expect Arsenal to hold them out, even as much as everybody was sort of saying that Chelsea was going to park the bus, which
they did not.
Right.
Not in the first half. Sorry. In the second half, they kind of did towards the end. But
well,
what's funny
is it was actually towards the end where they had so many options, and all Arsenal did was basically foul Eden Hazard before he could get out in the open field.
What was that tweet that you shared with me? Like, blank takes yellow card
for right. fouling blank Eden takes Hazard. Yellow card for fouling Eden Hazard, yeah. Because that's all they did. And from the way that we've seen Arsenal over the years and some of this year, Arsenal have been winning some big games, but they don't come against Jose Mourinho. And so
it's never been.
It's never happened. Yeah. So I didn't expect it to happen. And so a 0-0 result was exactly what I was really expecting. I'd say that I missed a vast majority of the game because I was at my son's first soccer. I don't even want to call it practice because he's four, but basically his first organized soccer session was at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on the East Coast, which was right when Chelsea and Arsenal kicked off. But frankly, I knew that it was going to be a terrible game, and so I'm glad I didn't have to watch it.
And in his first game, I believe I heard reports that he scored his
right. He had more goals than Chelsea and Arsenal that day.
Correct.
So yeah,
you have a future there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to read into that game in terms of this game. That I think Arsenal can go there and just smash Hull. I'm not sure that they're going to shut them out though. I think Hull definitely play much better at home, and Dame Enjoy has scored every one of his goals at home. So
he has preferred scoring at home.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't look at the DraftKings Sunday lineups, but I'm assuming that they're including the Monday games. And I would be more confident in the Chelsea defenders than the Arsenal ones this weekend.
I mean, I'm biased, but I agree.
Yeah.
So take that with a grain of salt. But speaking of DraftKings, we will move on to our daily dose here. We have the Saturday slate without the early game, because that's what you specified. So no Mark Albrighton, no Wes Morgan, no Jeffrey Schlupp, no Casper Schmeichel, no Jamie Vardy in these lineups because they're not available to us. It's not that we don't think that they're good. I would recommend them. However, for this intents and purposes, we're playing the late edition of the Saturday game. With that in mind, my goalkeeper, Kelvin Davis, four active goalkeepers to have ever saved three consecutive penalties.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun little trivia question just for prosperity. It's Rob Green as one for when he was with West Ham. Alan McGregor at Hull City did it in 2000. His third one came in 2014. And most recently, Adrian of West Ham. So after that useless bit of trivia, Kelvin Davis is my goalkeeper, and I paid the premium for the two best defenders again, Leighton Baines, Kieran Trippier. Totals of 4,500, 57, and 5,600.
I had Trippier as well. I think he's a automatic play for anybody that – especially in this slate, and we can get to why in a second. But we talked about this before the podcast, that Sam Allardyce announced that Reese Burke is probably going or will start again this week. He started in place of Winston Reid last week. Reid is out again, and so Burke is going to get the start. West Ham playing at home against Burnley. Burke is $2,800. He doesn't do anything offensively, so don't expect. I guess he took one shot last week, but don't.
He's a statue.
Yeah, so. He's a statue that gets in the way of the ball, so that's a clean sheet play all the way. But at $2,800, it frees up a lot of cash from when I then realized didn't really help me that much because there are just not a ton of high-priced players that I liked this week. So I originally had gone with Adrian at $5,200 just to pair with Burke. I then threw in Kelvin Davis at $4,500, but I might go back to Adrian just because they're playing at home. I'm also, my hesitation is I'm not sure West Ham wins that game.
Yeah.
I'm more confident in Southampton, and with the 5-point win bonus for a goalkeeper, you have to get the win. So I have money left over basically for any goalkeeper I want, but which could end up being David De Gea, thinking that Manchester United wins that game against West Brom. But the difficulty in choosing him is it's totally lineup based. So, you know, if like RVP starts, I'd be more confident in De Gea. The problem is that he plays in that later game. He plays in the late game on Saturday, so it's not like I can easily swap him out after I see the lineup.
Correct.
So not sure what I'm doing there. So right now I have Davis, Burke, and Trippier as my back line there.
All right, and move on to your midfielders.
I had originally slotted in Charlie Adam, which I can't believe I did it. Stoke's playing at Swansea. I think Stoke has a little more to play for. He's at 6,200.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. His last five games, he has 21, 15, 18, 19, and 31 fantasy points. Last week was just an incredible game. He had a goal on 8 shots, 3 on goal, and 10 crosses. It's like the perfect DraftKings output.
Yeah.
But then I remembered that he's
replacing the value that Victor Moses once had.
I don't think Moses ever had a run like this. I know he didn't.
Never.
But then I remembered he was Charlie Adam, and the odds that he extends this to 6 games are so...
He's actually just as likely to get a red card in the 5th minute.
Right. So I swapped him out for $4,300. I saved $1,900 for Matt Phillips.
Same-sies.
Oh, yeah. So they're basically the same without the – Matt Phillips had 31 points 3 games ago.
Yeah.
So so I 4,300, I liked him, and then I coupled him with a $5,600 Ashley Young, who is a fantasy player that nobody would ever consider playing if it wasn't for DraftKings because of the crosses.
Yep.
But he has 17 in the last 3 games, and so you got to go.
And playing as a defender, it's tough.
Yep.
So it's tough because he's not going to really give you much offensively except for crosses.
Right, right. I mean, he so, had a, you know, he'll have a goal or a random goal or assist, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's, he's not fully involved.
I paired my Matthew Phillips with a 5,100 Jordan Henderson.
Oh, I thought about Henderson. I thought about Coutinho, Henderson.
Yeah, I've been on record before, and I'll say it again. Philippe Coutinho is extraordinarily overrated. The fact that he was considered for PFA Player of the Year to me was a joke.
Not even considered. He was on it. He made the wonderful comparison.
I meant on the shortlist.
Yeah, like, for Player of the Year. Yeah, yeah. He has the same number of goals and assists as Falcao, who's the biggest flop in the Premier League.
Yeah, and not only that, Branislav Ivanovic has the same amount of goals and more assists than Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. This guy he's good in spurts, but a lot of players are good in spurts. Anyway, I don't want
to
get too...
You'd have to think that, because I'm fairly certain at least 3, if not all 4 of his goals have come from like 25 yards out.
Yeah.
And if those all came from 5 yards out, we wouldn't even think about it.
Anyway,
who's your attacking line?
Yes. You know who Coutinho is? He's one of the 3 result players from baseball. It's either a walk, a strikeout, or a home run.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we play in a batting average league in this, so the walks don't even count for much.
Right.
All right. Christian Benteke is one of my forwards at 7,900. Romelu Lukaku is at 8,100. And the most expensive of the bunch, I'm hoping he starts, is Robin Van Persie at 8,400. I think that's a good discount on Van Persie if he starts.
I totally agree with you. I have Van Persie and Benteke as well. I have 1,900 bucks left over. And so I spent 9,000 on Charlie Austin. And the only reason I did that is because I'm not sure where else I would spend it.
Also have Matt Phillips. So, I mean, it's a good pairing.
Yep. I'm looking at basically the highest priced options that are available to me are Rooney, who's out, Sterling, who I just don't think is worth the 8,600. Graziano Pelle is actually one I did consider at 8,500. And I may make that switch, but as of now, I haven't. Di Maria at 8,200 with no guaranteed start is awful. And then it's Falcao at 8,100 with Lukaku. And so Van Persie, I basically have to flex because if he doesn't start. Yeah.
In the Saturday game, you lose so many key players because Tottenham play on Sunday. City plays on Sunday.
Arsenal
plays
on
Monday.
You lose
all the top 4. Arsenal plays on Monday and Chelsea play on Sunday.
Right.
So.
And so you're left with having to figure out whether Graziano Pelle is a better play than Charlie Austin, you know, things like that. And so... You know, which is fine, but I'm just not sure. So if Van Persie starts, he's a guaranteed play at 8,400. If he doesn't start, it has to be Falcao. Like, you know, one of them have to start.
Could be James Wilson.
I doubt it.
I do too, but if it is James Wilson, I'm drafting him.
I'm also not sure Wilson would start by himself up top. I don't think they've ever done that. And so I don't expect it to happen now. But... So you put Van Persie in the flex with the possibility that Di Maria starts.
I was about to say, I think if you're going to save your money for someone, it would be Di Maria.
Right. Well, Di Maria is 200 less than Van Persie. Van Persie is the most expensive of Di Maria and Falcao. So,
yeah, what I mean though is like if you're going to replace somebody, if you're going to have to replace Van Persie, I understand. Right. Never mind.
If they all
get my comment,
if Van Persie and Di Maria start, I'm not sure where I go, to be honest.
But if I wasn't lazy, I would have just edited out these last 10-15 seconds of. This podcast because I just completely misspoke.
No, but so I'm not sure who I would play between Di Maria and Van Persie if they both start. I'll have to see how I feel on Sunday.
Fair, which is why he's in my, which is why Van Persie's in my flex position.
Right, right.
All right, and on that note, we will end this. It's a rare consensus here, so we will end the episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast on that consensus. We will catch you next week, where I'm sure there will be even more shenanigans talk creeping into the regular fantasy advice here on the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I'll catch you next week, Andrew.
Sounds good.
All right. For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.